Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 23rd of February. So that month's going to be over, and we're going to be off for the next 2 weeks.
I know. People are going to freak. What are they going to do? Are they going to have, like, withdrawals?
Well, you know, they can hang in there.
Yeah. Got a little vacation going on, a little bit
I figure if you're going to be floating around, you know, and the markets, these markets aren't going to do anything interesting.
No. Oh, no. You know, is this a leap year?
Yes.
It is.
29th is a day. Yeah.
I think next Monday is the end of the month.
Could be.
Yep. So usually what happens is that the last week of the month, there's this window dressing. Usually it happens on about the 2 days beforehand. So that would be when? That would be Wednesday or Thursday. We may start to see some crazy action in the markets over the next few days that are, you know, usually what you see is this kind of false move on the upside. You know, players trying to mark up their accounts so they can get good fees for the end of the month. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you want those fees.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we live on. Anyway, let's talk about what's going on with the markets. First of all, markets moved out of their quote-unquote correction on Monday. We saw a nice rally for...
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, you know, that was followed by oil because oil was up, 5.5% yesterday. You know why that was?
No, why?
Well, everybody was like all excited because maybe it had something to do with demand or supply issues, or maybe it was because of... the, you know, maybe some OPEC announcement. Truth was, it was because of the roll into the new month, which ended yesterday. 75% of the actual move yesterday was because of the roll, the movement of one contract from the ending period to the next contract.
Huh.
So what happened today? Immediately started opening up lower, and then you had the announcement by Saudi Arabia and by Iran that basically said, we're not cutting production. This whole thing is ridiculous. So oil is down, I think, 5.5% today.
What about a good investment in tank farms?
Right. Some kind of open pit to collect oil.
Pits.
Right?
An investment in pits.
Yeah. Remember the old, I don't know if you had this when you were growing up. We had sumps in New York. Did you have a sump?
No.
Sump was this big area. It was like a water collection basin, but big. I mean, large. And what we would do is, in the wintertime, they were great because they were all fenced off, but we'd invariably cut the fence open. And we'd go down and ice skate on it or sled on it. It was always the fear that somebody was going to crack through the ice on the sump. But it was this big water collection area that they'd have all over the place. I'm not sure why. I don't think they did anything with it. Just like an overflow area. And the sumps, that's what we need. We need to clear out the sumps and put oil in there. Make it like the tar pits.
Yeah. That's what they end up as if you stuff it in there long enough. Yeah.
So we are seeing that there was a big sell-off today on the fact that not only was there a problem with the realization that, oops, maybe oil wasn't the reason why we should have been buying stocks yesterday, but there was some other indications that the Fed is going to continue to raise rates, that China actually devalued or at least moved the yuan in the wrong direction, lots of little things like that. So the big question is going to be, we're right on the cusp of a zero for the month. In other words, we're maybe down, I don't know, 1% on the Dow, or maybe the Dow's not even down 1%. Maybe it's down 0.5%. S&P's down 1% for the month. Came back all the way from down about 5%. Do you think we'll go green for the end of the month?
Well, probably not. I think it's going to fluctuate like it did. I mean, I thought it was going to go up again today.
Yeah, it was. You know what? We actually shorted into that move yesterday. We added to the short positions yesterday for hedging because it was too ridiculous yesterday. It was very light volume. There was no reason for it. It clearly was just following oil. And when I realized that there was that disparity from the real oil price, what we'd see the next day when the contract finally turned, and to what it was saying, I said, you know what, this can't be good. Not to mention the other thing that really kind of hurt markets today was this commentary of, you know, JP Morgan had their investor day today, and they were talking about how much of a change in the environment there has been over the last couple of years, and particularly they'll be down something like 25% year over year on their investment banking business. Their fixed income business is flat to down, and they have to put a tremendous amount in addition away for loss reserves due to the losses on oil-related fixed income. That really kind of freaked things out. I mean, the banks were down again today. J.P. Morgan was down another 4%. Standard Chartered came in last night. Their bank, a foreign bank, they came in with a horrific number. Just absolutely awful, and just crushed the stock there. So you're kind of seeing this ebb and flow of. Do you remember when remember the Greek crisis? Remember the ebb and flow of the Greek crisis?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, there's a problem. There's not a problem. There's a problem. There's not a problem.
Yeah, no one can make up their mind.
Right. It's the same thing. But we are seeing some very technical trading. There was this whole notion that 2050 on the S&P 500 was a number that we would have to get to or could get to. And then from there, if we didn't break through, it could be a problem. Major resistance point. And we got within a stone throw of it yesterday. And then it started selling off. And then we got to the daily support today, and markets held, which was nice.
Well, I see the dollar's at $1.10
against the euro. Yeah.
Well, what's going on here?
What I think is happening is, so the dollar against the euro, so the euro is lower, and the yen is actually moving also lower tonight, as an example. I think what's happening is that China is blasting through their foreign reserves to try to hold up their currency. That's what I think is going on. You have that,
and you think they can move the money market because of that?
Yeah, they blew through $500 billion in the last couple of months.
That would account for something.
Yeah, they're just selling all their foreign reserves because they have to sell those to buy, you know, they convert out of whatever it is that they have, and they buy into the yuan to try to hold it up.
Let me see here.
Yeah, and last night they
moved. What do they want to hold the yuan up for? I thought they're trying to let it slide.
They know that if they let it slide, it's going to be a real problem for their markets and for, it may be better for their economy, but really a problem for their markets and for the global environment. As we saw what happened last time they moved it up.
You think they're that magnanimous?
I think they are that sneaky. I think it's all a big charade to cover up all the problems that are there. So they're going to try to keep it up as best as possible to keep their equities up.
Oh, to make it look like there's...
no problem.
Yeah, nothing to see here.
Right, exactly. Yeah, things are strong. You know, nobody's worried about the currency there.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah, there's a major flight of the currency out. But you know what? They're just going to have to make it up. That's another problem. There is a major flow of funds, of monies, out of China. And they have to keep on making that up as well. Not to mention if they bust down
selling yuan, buying dollar.
Yep. Yep. Any way to get the hell out. As much as possible.
That
so,
doesn't sound like fun.
Nope. So they're doing everything they can to make it look like there's, like you said, there's nothing to see here. Keep on, pass on by, keep going, you know, and don't forget they're also buying their stocks on the Shanghai Index.
Right, they are.
So, you know, it's just a big problem, just a big mess. And then you have what's going on in Japan. You know, there's a realization that negative interest rates could have been a big mistake. Now the politicians are in on it saying, hey, what do you do here? And there's some... conversation that Abenomics has failed, and the possibility, you know, in Japan, they're very big on the whole idea of what's the word I'm looking for here? Saving face.
Oh, yeah. Well, like we're not.
Yeah, right. But, you know, but the difference is if we fail, we're like, okay, well, we'll figure out a way out of it. Them, the Harry Carey.
Yeah, well. In the olden days, that would be true.
Yeah, but they still have a little bit of remnants of that in their society. So the question is going to be whether some of these guys recuse themselves, quit, or get fired somehow, the central bankers, for not doing a good job. Already there's a talk about snap elections and the possibility of those for Shinzo Abe, the prime minister of Japan, and possibly, you know, putting that up. Is some, you know, that's starting to mull around a little bit. So I think there's a lot of players out there saying, you know, you guys don't know what you're doing. What's happening here? You're really not making any progress with the economy. Your stock market may be holding up a bit, but Japan is in its, like, I don't know, its fifth recession in the last 8 years.
Yeah, they got nothing but trouble.
Mm-hmm. And the Feds here are still talking up rate hikes. Esther George talked up today about they're still on plan for rate hikes for this year. I don't understand. With all
everybody else is talking about negative.
I know. No negative rates and a potential rate hike. This is with consumer confidence falling to the lowest level for middle income earners, the lowest it's been since October of 2008.
Wow. Jeez.
You know? And so I don't know. I mean, it seems a bit preposterous to me that there is a chance to continue to raise rates in this environment as we are doing so. It kind of crushes the emerging markets. It hurts commodities. It causes a problem for our companies here in terms of the headwinds on their earnings. Earnings are going lower. I think rates are really low and they're ridiculous, but I just don't see it as a time to start raising them. I thought a year and a half ago was a time to raise them. They missed their window. They screwed up.
Yeah, they were kind of, I think they did screw up, and I think it had to do with they were skittish or jumpy about it.
See, if they would have done it a year and a half,
it's going to ruin everything.
If they would have done it a year and a half ago and gone on a process of right, they could have actually started reducing it as things got bad around the world. Instead of talking about it and effectively raising rates by scaring the hell out of all the places around and raising the dollar. See, they raised the dollar by talking about it as much as they did, which then was the effect of an interest rate hike without an interest rate hike in terms of the response by emerging markets and earnings and things of that nature. And now they don't have the ability to, or the ammunition to actually backtrack on it.
Well, they can't raise the rates.
Yep. So I don't know if you've been watching any TV or reading financial articles that you've seen this. I don't know if you noticed, but for most of the time you see kind of a very bullish commentary. The undertones are usually relatively bullish. They're starting to get pretty bearish.
Not on CNBC.
I've seen some things about, well, for the most part, no, I agree with you. But for the most part, they are bullish. But I've been seeing more bearish commentary. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Yeah, I think there might be. But the bearish commentary consists of cautious commentary.
Right. Usually that's at very early morning or late night.
That super early show is the best one.
The world markets?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I was watching that at 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, I rarely get to see it.
Yeah, I was up early today.
Every time I see it, I'm saying, this is not like the rest of the day.
Yeah. Okay, now, Fitbit. They came out with earnings last night after hours, then after the close, and their actually earnings were okay. Their guidance was abysmal. Stock was down about 20% on the weak guidance.
On the guidance,
they're saying how they have to delay something, and one of the things we talked about was this new product they had that was kind of the competition to the Apple iWatch, at a low price point, which rocked the stock at one point. Was you and I talked about how maybe it was the fact that margins are going to be so lean and it was going to be a problem. And that may have gone into what their weak guidance is.
Well, compared to the price you paid for your fake Fitbit, I don't see how margins can be lean.
I wonder if that price went down. That was $15. It's probably lower now. I mean, some of the other Fitbits are a little bit more robust in terms of the technology. This was a simple stepper and heart rate monitor, sleep monitor. But still, $15 compared to $150, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
But this looks like the same game plan as GoPro, right? One-hit wonder? And I was thinking...
I thought about this. And when the GoPro first came out, I knew some people that bought them, and they're professional videographers. And I'm looking at the thing. It was very hard to use. I use all these things. They're very hard. And I've been using handheld movie cameras forever, ever since they first could produce a decent little 1080p or 720p movie, 16:9. And then, talking about most cameras can do that now. Mm-hmm. And so the Fitbit or the GoPro comes out, right in the throat of all these little movie devices, cameras, you know, pocket cameras, movie devices, and phones. And I thought it was very difficult to use. I didn't see that it was doing anything special that was you couldn't do already with most of these devices, including the phone. And if you take a look at the latest stuff they've done with the phone, I think it's the iPhone 6, the regular first 6 that has the it has an anti-motion, anti-blur. Yeah, it's anti-whatever. It's fantastic. Takes a fantastic movie. And so where does GoPro fit into the scheme of things? Is it more rugged? Maybe. Is it totally waterproof? Not unless you put in a waterproof case. And you can do that with anything. So I was always kind of like, I don't know. I like the guys, and I guess they're a very creative company, and they've done a really good job of marketing this stuff. But when Fitbit's a different, to me, is a different animal. It was people like it. It's a high quality product that everyone can use. You can't. Nobody wants to use a GoPro that's not a pro, and I just don't see the comparison.
You see, the problem that I had with it was a little bit different. I agree with you that there was. The buttons were a little confusing, and there wasn't enough buttons technically. You know, on a regular camera, you got all sorts of dials and buttons and things that you could do with, right? This was a little bit more complicated, but I thought the bigger problem was still the fact that different than a camera where you're just going to take a video or you're going to take a picture and you're just going to send it, just snap, send, take a quick video, send it, or upload it somewhere. The difference was that they made this to be this really cool, like outdoor and high adventure type of videos that people were going to make. And then they put out this software that was really hard to use. And then I think also people got very frustrated with like, okay, I'm going to make this video. So they make this video and then they're like, well, what the hell do I do now? Whereas they see the videos that people make, this really cool multi-clip video with all the music and the really cool colors and all this stuff behind it. And everybody's like, wait, I'm not a professional videographer. How am I supposed to do this? I thought I was just going to take this stuff and it was going to make these really cool videos.
You really think that?
Yeah, I do. I think the average person.
Average person is dumber than I thought.
Well, come on. I mean, you see these really cool videos and stuff like that. And then they try to say, well, I can do that too. And they put it into this video program. And they have to see.
And you can't do anything.
Timelines. And they see. You know,
video editing is one of the biggest time sinks and horrible thing. Yeah. There are people that are really good at it. You just pay them money and have them do it.
You just need a very large screen and a good program because you know a lot of people have laptops. You ever try to do that stuff on a laptop?
I don't get it. Why do people even use laptops?
Yeah, for that's hard. I mean, I have a MacBook Pro that I do some video editing on, and I know how to do video editing, so I know what I'm doing. So you know, to an extent. And so I know how to get around it and do what I have to do. But I got to tell you something. You know, when you're starting to deal with multiple on a timeline, you're doing multiple clips and multiple levels and then audio. And
you're
then,
editing them in and out, putting fades and stuff if you want.
Yeah, no, it gets difficult.
Even though most people don't have time for any of the classic stuff.
Right. So anyway, the stock was down 19% on its weak guidance. One of the things I thought about was, what's that? Yeah, Fitbit.
Yeah.
So, and this is on a really, I think it's down 30% since its IPO, which was not too long ago. But I was thinking, just mentioning to everybody listening was, start looking out there for these one-hit wonders where they have one product, they enter the market. Maybe there's some other ones out there that are similar, but the differentiation point between them and the other products is not that great. The one that you would say, well, is that always the case? Well, no. You had the iPod that came out. Now, iPod was Apple. Apple had other products too, but still, they were not doing really well as a company before the iPod, right?
Yeah, I'd say that's true.
And then they came out with an iPod, and there was
not as if the iPod was the first of its.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I have the first one right here.
They just knew how to market.
But they knew how to market. But the biggest issue with the iPod, what I believe from all of the things that I've looked at and read and studied. The differentiation was that there was a package. There was a software product that made it really easy to use. The old MP3 player that I had 64 megabytes on it. I had it. The software was so clunky and so horrible to exchange the music back and forth, where iTunes made it very easy to synchronize or easier. And, so that was, I thought, the big differentiator in that. If the iPod was exactly the same as my MP3 player from, I'm trying to think what the name of the company was now. I always remember this. I forgot what it's called.
There was a number of them that were out at
the
time.
It was the first one, though.
The first one? That was the guys who made the sound card.
Yep, exactly.
I can't think of their names either. Mm. But they're the ones who drew all the attention to MP3.
Yeah, really, and that was a great device. I had that device, and it was great for a lot of things. The problem was getting things on and off. It was halfway to impossible, so... Anyway, take a look for those one-hit wonders out there and see if they can find, you know, when they're going to come out. They'll be very exciting, and they'll be very, everybody will be like buying the crap out of them. Buy them and follow them on the rally, but then get the hell out and fade them and short them.
I think that's a good thought. Even if they turn out not to be one-hit wonders, they all follow that pattern as if they are.
Yeah, a lot of the IPOs these days do. I mean, you didn't have that with some
other. That's kind of what I mean.
Yeah. Diamond Multimedia.
Yeah, Diamond.
Diamond Multimedia. Yeah, that was the name of the first. That was the company that made the first one. Let's talk about some politics for a second. Jeb Bush.
Well, they made the first popular one.
Popular, yeah. I thought it was the first one.
I'm not so sure.
I loved it at the time, as ridiculous as it was. Yeah. Better than carrying around that big Sony Walkman with the disc spinning on your arm.
The disc.
Remember that?
Yeah, the non-standard discs. Classic Sony.
Right, they made the little bitty ones too.
Non-standard disc, non-standard battery to power it.
Right. Yeah. Jeb Bush is
standard connectors.
Well, but now what they do is
go on.
You know what? Speaking about connectors, do companies need to constantly change their connectors? Can't they at least keep it for a few generations? Or is it just a subversive way to make us pay more for something?
I think there's two things at play. One is your assertion is a subversive way to make us pay more. That's Apple's way of going.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is it has to do with manufacturing costs. They come up with these new connectors that are cheaper by a penny. And so let's switch to that connector. And then somebody comes out and says, well, let's standardize on this connector, which is what Google, I think, pushed the little phone recharging connector. And then they came out with the newest thing everyone's talking about is this connector that you can put in upside down and right side up. Doesn't make any difference because people are so annoyed with the trying to plug a USB connector in.
So annoying.
Poke, 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 poke. Then you turn it over, poke, poke, poke. It still won't go in. And then you turn it back over and then it goes in.
That was only me.
Drives you crazy.
Oh.
The newest connector that we're all going to move to next, you can put it in upside down, right side. It doesn't make any difference because they have the things kind of set up. So there's like two of each and it's on either side. And so there's no polarity.
I have one device that has that poke, poke, poke USB connector.
Yeah.
And it's the Skullcandy over-the-ear headphones. Really nice bass, good sound. But the charger with that USB connector is, you got to, you know how the headphones kind of wobble back and forth kind of to fit your ears? Well, between the headphone and the head strap, whatever you call that thing, the top there, you open it up a little bit and you got to put it in there. Meanwhile, you get your hand inside the area, and if you don't, you got to twist around a little bit, and then you got to start poking.
That stinks.
Oh my God, you have no idea. But I like the headphones a lot, so I just live with it. Terrible. Anyway, I mentioned Jeb Bush is out.
Yeah, he's out.
He was never in.
He was never in, and they dropped 100 feet. Apparently, his campaign spent between 130 and 140 million, maybe more. It got him nowhere. And we talk about this on the No Agenda show. The one point that we make is, so this all this money spent got the guy nowhere. So how does all these arguments about Citizens United and the Koch brothers buying and selling elections play into what actually happened in the real world with Jeb Bush? All this money, the Koch brothers are going to put all this money. Oh, and Citizens United, all this money's flying around. Here, we had an example. All this money, the guy crapped out.
I got to tell you something. I don't know why. I know this is totally ridiculous, but somebody didn't tell him to change his glasses. Those glasses made him look like an idiot.
We used to mock the glasses. He actually later stopped wearing the glasses.
I mean, I've met him in person, by the way.
Yeah?
I'm just saying, he didn't impress me. Let's just say that.
I've met him. He didn't impress anybody, apparently.
Yeah, no, I met him on two separate occasions, and I'm like, what? First of all, he dressed like a slob. He just,
well,
I mean,
so, yeah, a lot of the rich dress that way.
I mean, it's just like, it was like, where'd you get that? How long has that jacket been sitting in the back seat of your car?
Yeah.
You know, did you just pull it out all the time? And it doesn't really even match your pants. And
yeah, that's not uncommon.
Ugh.
It's actually a style.
Oh, it's a style?
Amongst the elites, yeah.
I should have. Maybe that's my problem. I'm just not stylish. I guess that's
what it is. It's not much of a style in terms of style.
It's kind of like an unstyle.
They have this lackadaisical attitude about certain things, and that's one of them.
Mm. All right, let's talk about Lumber Liquidators. Remember that little company?
Yeah, we should have been short and short and short and short and short and short.
Yeah, but however, you would have gotten your head handed to you when the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention came out with a test that said, well, you know, we're really not too concerned about the formaldehyde exposure because when we did our tests, you know, it came within a certain parameter that seems to be okay. Now, remember something, the 60 Minutes put out that horrible evening news item, and it showed how if they broke it apart and they put it into this canister and they tested it and all this. And Lumber Liquidators, one of their defenses was, hey, you know what? Who breaks up the formaldehyde in the floor and is going to be living with it? That's not really what happens. I mean, you know, they're not going to break up the whole floor like that. It's going to be sealed. But then, so, you know, this went back and forth, and there was big problems and obviously a lot of issues with regard to some fines, and California was up in arms. A lot of places weren't selling them. People weren't buying it anyway. Well, here's a little twist to the story. This is unbelievable. You ready?
All ears.
It seems that, this is unbelievable. It seems that the agency, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, made a little bit of a mistake in their math. They were using feet instead of meters, or meters instead of feet, to calculate the percent of formaldehyde. So it was actually 3 times higher than they previously projected.
Holy crap. This is supposed to be,
how do you like that?
Having worked in a lab professionally, that's unbelievably inexcusable. And this is supposed to be a government operation.
Right. But they still say the risk of cancer remains low.
Yeah, sure. What else are they going to say?
Right. Got to probably put a sign on your door. You know how you have like the bad dog signs that you have in your house?
Yeah.
Low to medium cancer exposure.
Right. That actually should be a requirement by law. Let's get that law passed.
Right. But I can't.
They put it on gas pumps.
Right. I just can't believe that they made this error. I'm sure, by the way, because they are a government agency, that no one will be fired for this. Not to mention that any fines that they probably had to pay on this Lumber Liquidators may not be increased. You think it should go up 3 times, I would think.
Yeah.
So the stock crashed.
Yeah, well, that's why I missed it.
How great is that, though? I mean, seriously, that is, I when I read that story, I had to read it like 3 times. It was hysterical. Home Depot is out in earnings. That was a great company. Home Depot's a great company. You know, everything about the place, between the fact that, you know, don't forget, Home Depot is not just for the consumer, the average guy that or gal that goes in there and buys, you know, paint or gets their keys made or, you know, buys a plant. They also have, obviously, they're big into the whole contractor space, right?
Yeah.
So
I like Home Depot. I like Lowe's too, though.
I just can't get my groove going in Lowe's. I just can't do it. I've tried so many times.
Well, there's a number of things. Lowe's, for one thing, has a lot of products they don't even have at Home Depot, including the specific Brinkman smoker.
They have Brinkman over. That's where I bought my smoker from, Brinkman at Home Depot.
Yeah, but you didn't buy the right Brinkman.
I got the square stand-up one.
Yeah, that's one of the dogs. I have one of those too. They don't work.
Well, it works, but there's more smoke that comes out of it that stays in it.
No, it's a piece of crap. And there's another Brinkman that's a round one, a bullet smoker, which is the one they used to make traditionally until they bought this operation called Cook and Cajun. And it's the Cook and Cajun model, which is different than the other Brinkman. And they're only they look the same from the outside, but there's a couple of minor little things you have to look for internally to find out which is the right one. And only Lowe's carries it. I've never seen it at home.
Do you happen to know what design is? Is it one of the stand-up ones?
It's a stand-up.
Like?
It's called a bullet smoker.
That's the one you like?
That's the one I like, yeah.
Is it like the green egg?
No, the egg shape. This is a kind of straight sides and then a dome.
Hmm. I got to get a new smoker because I definitely
I'll send you the link to one of these. And then
yeah, they're not expensive. I mean, I
no, they're like $40.
Oh, really?
Well, I think the last time I bought one, it's like $39 or it may have gone up.
Is this a smoker? Is it a propane smoker or just a regular smoker?
No, no. Here's the deal with this smoker. You know the small charcoal bag of charcoal?
Mm-hmm.
It's a small bag.
Right.
I think it's 6 pounds or something like that. One of those bags exactly fits into the bottom of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You torch it off. It smokes for anywhere from 3.5 to 5.5 hours unattended.
But do you put wood in there too?
You can put some smoke chips in there if you want.
Well, that's what I do. My whole thing is I just use peach or apple.
That's whatever. Fine. Yeah. You don't have to.
Uh huh.
But you can. I mean, you could use the mesquite flavored
right.
charcoal or whatever. I usually put a piece of wood in there. I usually put it one piece of oak. Let it smoke up because most people agree that when you're smoking stuff, it's only the first hour or so of the smoking that it really gets into the meat. So you get this thing going, and you can put like ribs on the top or a roast, like a giant pork roast, big pork roast, the big giant ones that they have at Costco.
Uh-huh.
Costco. 3.5 hours. You get and wet smoke. It's got a wet, mm-hmm. bubbly, it's boiling water in there.
Right.
Unbelievable.
You know what? If you have the chance to get wood that is really good for the smoker, may I suggest, there's a Jack Daniel's whiskey barrel oak.
I've used Jack Daniel's.
Oh, it's great. Though,
a lot.
Love it, right?
It's outstanding.
Yeah, that's good.
It's more available to where you are. I only see it once in a while.
Oh, I like it, yeah.
It's pieces of the oak barrel, so it has a whiskey flavor.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's oak.
All right, so Home Depot beat. Stock was up, 3.5%. Lowe's is out tomorrow, usually the day after. Which is kind of how the thing always goes, right? Home Depot comes out to the market. They blow out all the hardware stores. Lowe's comes in as a second player in, and they just follow along the next day with the earnings. That's Lowe's play. They kind of watch what happens at Home Depot, see what works, and then replicate
right,
it there.
Right, they figure, well, don't do that. Okay.
Right. Do we want to have any time spent at all on this show on Apple's?
And no.
I don't think so. Oh, I can't.
I mean, there's nothing to talk about. It's a political issue.
Oil, I've mentioned this earlier, the oil plunge is starting to hit banks and the energy sector companies. Now, we know that the energy sector itself has been really in bad shape, right? We knew that. We didn't see a lot of bankruptcies. We've seen some dividend cuts. We've seen some, clearly some ratings cuts. We've seen some add-ons of equity offerings. We've seen some companies selling off their various assets, tangible assets. But now we're starting to see some more dividend reductions. We're starting to see some news that's coming out about sales of divisions. We're seeing that massive earnings shortfalls. And then the banks are getting hit, like I said, with JP Morgan. So it's a very interesting little phenomenon that's happening. It's kind of, waiting. When is this going to occur? And, you know, it doesn't occur. Now it's starting to all of a sudden start to play out here.
Yeah, I wasn't considering this when I was thinking of banks.
Yeah, no, a lot of people didn't. I mean, you thought of the regionals, you know, you thought of Texas Bank Shares or a few others out there that maybe the smaller ones.
Invested in
the
oil, yeah.
Now, I'd like to announce something.
Okay.
We've talked about it before. The closest to the pin, the DH and Plug special, only here, you know. By the way, this is an exclusive. You don't get this stuff anywhere else. DH and Plug, closest to the pin contest. Now, if you hadn't done this with us before, we just, I don't know, a year and a half ago or something like that. We have a brand new version, new and improved. This is the first one we're going to do. I'm announcing the first one right now. Basically, here's how it goes. We pick a stock, one stock. You look at the stock and you say, okay, well, what is that stock going to be on a certain date? We post the date the entries can come in. So, for example, right now, Disney is the stock. From now through March 2nd, you could enter the price that you believe the stock will be using all your technical analysis and fundamental savviness on March 11th, on the close of the markets on March 11th. So entries are open until March 2nd. You go over to dhunplug.com, go on to on the right side there, there's a close to the pin link. It tells you that the stock symbol, tells you a little bit about the company. You can take a look at the current stock chart. what's happening historically and what's going on now. It'll drop down there. And then you could just log on or register if you haven't done so and enter one time per person a price that you think it's going to be. And when we announce the winner, there will be little prizes. We got some T-shirts we're making up and get some other goodies that we'll have too. The first one, by the way, if there's any bugaboos on this, because we had this whole design for this contest, just bear with us. Don't send us all sorts of hate mail, please. Just the first one for Disney is going to be just to get the bugs out. So I encourage you, please, to go on.
This is a beta.
Yeah, please. Go on and put in a price. And what will happen is when the entries are closed, this is kind of cool. We designed it so when the entries are closed, so after March 2nd, there'll be a leaderboard for the closest to the pin, close to the price on that date, and it will kind of track till the price closes. So I'll be moving around on a regular basis, and it will show. Now, in addition to that, you're competing against myself and John. We put in our prices as well. Now, we're not going to tell you what those prices are right now because you can go and do your thing. But it will be listed. Our actual guesses will be listed on the page as well that has the actual contest, that particular stock contest. Or close to the pin contest. Cool, huh?
Yeah, it's great. And all the new programming that went into this is fantastic.
Yep, good stuff. I got a couple of oddball stories that I thought I'd talk to you about. First of all, let you know that we did buy the exercise bike from Sears.
Finally.
Bought it online to get the lower price and went to the store and picked it up.
At least that worked.
Somebody on Twitter mentioned that they were really pretty... thought it was pretty funny. It was like a Monty Python skit.
Sounds like it.
All right. Listen, so I saw this is a, let me tell you the Uber story first. So I got new engines for the boat. So I had to drive my car. I had to go meet the guy at the ramp because they needed.
What's the brand of engine you use?
This new one is Suzuki. Suzuki happens. I would usually buy Yamahas. Yamahas are great. We had Yamahas on there, but we bought new four-stroke. I got new four-stroke Suzukis on there.
Can you get a two-stroke engine on those things?
I had two strokes.
I think that's better.
No, they don't.
Makes a lot of smoke. Oh. Sounds crazy.
Yeah, no, we had the two strokes on there, and it was. They were fine. They worked really well. They were fast. Two strokes are better at what they call hole shots, where you just jam it and it goes. They're a lot faster that way. They're better, but they're less efficient on gas. They're much noisier. They're much smokier. They have the oil injection, and they burn oil.
Well, he said you have the injection. You have to put it in, mix it.
No, it mixes it itself. We don't have to mix it. Right. I had two tanks on there, two-gallon tanks or four-gallon tanks. Anyway, so they ripped those out and got the new engines, and I picked it up. Anyway, long story short, unbelievable. What's really cool is all the electronics now tie in together. So on my depth finder system, all of the engine information is on there.
These are not outboards. This is the
inboards. No, these are outboards.
Okay. Yeah, and you got two of them.
Two of them, yeah.
Two big outboards.
Yep.
Is it V6?
These are inline fours.
Okay.
We were going to get I was looking at the 250s. These are twin 200s. The 250s were a V6, but they were about 500 pounds more. And I didn't want that extra weight on the back of the boat.
Yeah, I don't think you want that, yeah.
Anyway, so I had to get Uber to drive me to the car at the end of the day.
To the boat.
Yeah. So I got Uber to drive me, and I had this nice Jamaican woman driving me, and we were talking and chatting, and I had to take her. She didn't know where she was going, and I didn't know the address, so I was kind of point her in the direction to get there. And we get there, and as we're driving through this neighborhood, through this thing, she says to me, "I got to tell you, you are taking me places no one has ever taken me before." I said, "Yes, ma'am."
God.
So I posted that on Twitter today, and somebody said that not only did I get an Uber, but I got a Lyft, too.
Ah, good gag.
All right, but here's the funny thing I want to tell you about. One more story. So last night, doing my thing, I hear this rattling on the side of the house. It's outside back, and I said, what is that noise? Sounds like somebody's pounding the garbage pail or something like that. Stopped. I heard it again. I went around. Nobody there. I noticed in the street is a big old raccoon.
I didn't know you had raccoons in Florida.
Well, obviously.
They play.
Nobody told a raccoon that. And he was just staring me down, looking at me like, "What's your problem, buddy?" You know? I'm like, get out of here. Get out of here. Didn't care, right? So I figured, I don't know if they're dangerous. I don't want to deal with this whole thing. So I call up the wildlife, Broward County wildlife today. I'm like, listen, I got a raccoon. What's the story? Oh, they said to me, she says, this woman says, get a can and put some like rocks in there and shake it around. It will scare it off. Or make some really loud noises and it will kind of scare it off. And if nothing else, make sure that all open food is contained because that's what they're there for. And if they don't find any, they'll go somewhere else. They're not territorial. They'll go somewhere else. I said, okay, that sounds good. Is there anything else? She says, don't think I'm weird. This is what she says to me. I'm not kidding. This is not a gag. She says to me, don't think I'm weird, but you know what you can do if you really want to get rid of it? I said, what? She goes, you can mark your territory. I said, what? I said, what are you talking about? She says, yeah, you can mark. I said, what the hell are the neighbors going to think if I'm doing that? She says, well, you got to be kind of discreet about it, obviously. She says, I said, okay. So I guess I got to go.
In a jar and throw it on the garbage cans.
I guess around the perimeter of my house or something. So I went over to the neighbors. I figured they should chip in also. I brought them over Ziploc bags. I said, do me a favor. Get something to go in here and let's. Like, can you believe they said that?
I never knew that would work with these things.
She said, I said, well, really? She goes, yeah, because you're the alpha. She said, you're the alpha male and that will mark the territory. This is what she said to me.
How about this for the way it finished, the real end of the story? She hangs up on you.
Yeah.
You go off and, you know, muddle it, you know, kind of thinking about it, scratching your head. And she turns over to the person sitting next to her and says, I think I suckered another. Yeah,
exactly. Man arrested for exposure in Fort Lauderdale. But she told me to. Oh, gosh. All right, let's see. Look, we've got only a few more minutes left here. Let's see what we'll go here. Yahoo is going to sell itself.
I keep saying
this. This Marissa Meyer is some piece of work. That's all I'm going to say. You know, she's going to hold on. She's going to fire everybody, close divisions, kill this company until it's worth nothing, sell it, and then get some kind of great back-end deal on the thing for herself.
She's going to walk away a rich girl.
Yep, smart. Don Mattingly, coach of the Miami Marlins, enforcing a no facial hair rule.
I heard this.
Yeah. It seems that this is not uncommon in Major League Baseball.
No, it's not. And in fact, he got it from the Yankees, which used to have an enforced rule about this. They were the ones with the longest holdout. I mean, it was always fun to watch the Yankees during an era where there was no facial hair, except they would allow mustaches on certain people.
Remember Nolan Ryan's?
Nolan Ryan.
Oh, no, not Nolan Ryan.
Raleigh Fingers.
Raleigh Fingers, yeah, with the big handlebars. Yeah, the big handlebars.
Yeah, but the A's always had a loose policy, and so they had a lot of bearded guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Giants had Fear of the Beard and a bunch of other people with all kinds of care on their face. But, yeah, I think it's funny. I don't know what the point of it is in this era.
Now, if they should do anything, they should do a no – remember the movie Alien with Sigourney Weaver? Remember that weird hair, that long hair with the Alien versus Predator thing in the other? The guys in the NFL have that hairstyle. I guess it's Predator. It's like the Predator. With the long, like...
Dreads?
Yeah.
The hanging back. I'm always wondering why in the NFL you would do that, because it just seems to me that if you were a tackler and the guy had the ball and he had the long hair, you'd grab the hair.
I'd grab it. First thing I'd grab.
It must be really greasy or something, so you can't grab it. Right. But.
China government is telling the media only to write stories that play within their rules. In other words, no negative financial news out there.
Oh, okay. That's great.
And I think the funny thing
that'll was some, help.
Some people were writing me. They were surprised about this. And I'm like, do me a favor. De-link me from your life. You're surprised that China's doing this?
How dumb can you be?
Yeah. Let's see here. Yuan creeping lower. I gave you a chart there showing you what's going on with that. Starting to creep lower. This inverted U.S. dollar to the Chinese renminbi. But it is creeping lower again after the big move. It kind of comes up or actually moves down, then kind of settles out a little bit, then moves again. And, you know, let's see where it is tonight. Nowhere tonight. Tesla. Did you know that for the longest time, did not own Tesla.com?
Well, that didn't surprise me.
I mean, I guess it was a common name, right?
Well, it's not a common name, but it's a common character who said there'd be lots of institutes and people with that. And there are some people with that name.
Now he got it. Elon Musk finally won it.
I hope he paid somebody for it.
Yeah, I think he was fighting it for years. Yeah, exactly. And he was, who knows if he stole it. I don't know what he did. But it's still, if you type in Tesla.com, it goes to TeslaMotors.com.
Yeah, so what's the point?
Yeah. He's just, you know, he won again. And let's see here. This is interesting. You see that second, there's a mistake there, but see the second chart down on the bottom where it says yuan creeping lower?
Yeah.
Click that. I want to show you something.
It's the one really, at the bottom.
That's not the right one.
Nothing happens.
Yeah. All right. That's not the right chart I want to show you. But check this out. Do you know that the pound from in England, the pound is down 18% against the U.S. dollar since July of 2015?
Yes, I know this, and I know some of the reasons why. This is because the EU is it's really against the EU that the issue exists because the Brexit. A bunch of people investing in currencies are afraid that the English will, because they have a vote coming up this summer, to leave the EU. And it's believed if they leave the EU, which is called the Brexit, then the whole place is going to go to pot. Now, what's interesting to me about this, because I'm advocating that they do it, the thing that's interesting to me about it is that they were fine without the EU before. What changed?
I know. And it isn't like a cross-border issue, you know, where you can just go from one place to the other very easily, because they have a little bit of a...
Yeah, they got some water there.
Yeah, exactly.
But meanwhile, the pound is now $1.39 to the American dollar, which is, I don't remember being any lower than that.
Yeah, it was about 8 years ago that it hit this, but that was in the middle of the whole financial crisis.
Yeah, then there was no money. But now that we're, you know, things have straightened out, this is outrageous. We should all go to England and hang out.
Yeah, go to the West End and get some good Indian food.
See a few plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. But I think it's amazing because, I mean, it did get very expensive. It was, what, 1.6, 1.65 for a long time, right?
It's very expensive when it's that high.
Right.
So it's expensive enough than in London.
Right. But I thought it was kind of interesting. This is, I guess this whole idea of them, they've talked about this whole, I don't know, is it secession from the EU, I guess, for forever.
The Brexit.
You know, the Grexit. They got to come up with these names. But this whole idea, you know, you would think, though, that as weak as Europe is, right, you would think that the pound would actually gain strength if there was the realization that they're leaving Europe, right? So if they extract themselves, aside from all the problems associated with the euro and all that, and then not even on the euro, they got the pound.
Yeah.
You would think that the euro should actually strengthen because they're a much stronger economy. And
I'm with you 100%.
It's just very odd. Very odd. I don't know what they're nervous about. Very nervous.
The uncertainty thing again. Mm. So the pound, by that logic, which I think is the logic, is undervalued.
Yeah, I would agree. Maybe we need to have like a DH Unplugged meetup in
London.
Yeah. That'd be good at a pub somewhere. Get a nice pub thing going. Do a little pub crawl.
Yeah, do a pub. The DHM plugged. We can do it with no agenda too, so we can get more people.
Yeah.
Having a joint pub crawl.
I think the last time I saw Adam was in, actually, we met up in London.
Huh.
Yeah, it was definitely in London. Now they think
That was a while ago. He hasn't been there for some time.
I'll mention also all the notes and all the information we talk about today, charts, things like that, are on the DH Unplugged site. Of course, you can go there also and check out the, and make sure, please do go over and check out the DH Unplugged closest to the pin. Only here do you find this. By the way, congratulations on that big old iTunes feature for No Agenda.
That was pretty good, huh?
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. Especially because, how unmainstream you guys are, to say the least.
Oh, we had to go through a rigmarole to get the art approved.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They have all these rules.
Wait, did they contact you and say, we want to put you there?
Actually what happened was the two guys that run the iTunes operation, the podcasting side, were floating around Texas for some reason, and they met up with Adam, and then they proposed to do this. Adam sold them on, hey, we got 8-year anniversary. It's a good time to, you know, and we ended up getting that spot.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a good deal.
Is not Scott Simpson is one of the guys still, is he?
I don't know who the two guys were that he met.
All right, let's take a look at the stocks. You can always find these over on DH Unplugged. We have a really cool site that shows all of the stocks that we are looking at and how they are doing or not doing in that case. I got to tell you that, well, let me give a quick disclaimer there, and then I'm going to give you some kudos on something. This is only a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. I got to get this recorded. No, I lost my train of thought. I got to start again.
You had Adam had a recording. We use that.
I can use something. Yeah, on the other show that I do, he did my outro. Anyway, this is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Anything that you do, you have to do with your own advice and the advice of a financial professional, because buying stocks can be risky. You can lose some or all of your money, of course. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients may own some of the stocks that I mentioned. That will be duly disclosed on the spreadsheet as well. Okay. Kudos. Here we go. I said, hey, I have an idea. Spirit Airlines. Interesting, because the price of oil is down and blah, blah, blah. And you go, hey, that's a great idea. And then you said, however, if I am going to do that, I'm going to pick Southwest Airlines. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that very clearly.
Kicking my ass.
Yeah, I noticed.
Kicking my ass. You're up 9.63% in the same time where I'm up 0.19%.
Yeah.
Really kind of interesting.
You got on the wrong horse.
Yeah, definitely on the wrong horse there. The high-yield bonds are still giving, up 9.7%. Intel Corporation still giving, up 12%. You're short. Inovio, flat. Zika virus is all there, but nothing happening.
Yeah.
Deutsche Bank, you're up, you're down. You've got a 20% stop on there. It's down 4% today, but you're still up 3%. Swift Transportation, we talked about the same thesis on low oil, and that stock is up 2.5%. Year-to-date, the S&P 500 is down 6%, Dow Jones down 5.7%, and NASDAQ down 10%. We're only in the second month of the year. I'm going one more time. If at first it doesn't succeed,
yeah, I see this. You're doing a double up. You haven't done this ever on the show.
I'll tell you what happened. What happened was that when I looked for, one of the things I looked for in this circumstance, and kind of as I scroll through the different ideas of what earnings are coming out, what's happening, news that's going to come
out. By the way, this is also called throwing good money after bad.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my whole thesis originally was that earnings were coming out and they moved their earnings date. So what happened was
it's always suspicious.
That's exactly right too. And I got slammed because the stock just kind of cruised up with the markets. So I only lost 5.5%. But point is that earnings are coming out Thursday, I think. It's Thursday, the 25th. So I figured, If I didn't get the original thesis played out, so I might as well try it again here. So one more shot.
Stamps.com.
Stamps.com. Yep. There was actually somebody wrote me about Stamps.com and told me that many of the Amazon sellers, you know, the outside sellers have accounts with Stamps.com to use to sell. Remember I said who uses stamps and all that? And they said that they use the stamps.com. They have some special deal with Amazon to sell to ship their products through that. So that maybe my thesis is a little bit screwed. Which
it might be.
It may be.
I like stamps.com.
Oh,
well, I use stamps. I get a lot of stuff in the mail too.
Oh,
okay. So I'm completely different off the. I'm not agreeing with any of your ideas.
All right, that's okay. That's what makes the podcast go round.
So let's pick up. I'll do a buy.
Yeah, buy.
On Insight Corporation, INCY.
INCY, huh?
That's only because of the insider, but Julian Baker is going nuts. And he's buying up. He's buying up, actually. He's an interesting, he's a director. And he is buying three companies that may or may not be interrelated. He's doing Genomic Health.
Uh-huh.
He's buying that. And he's buying lots of it. And then he's buying INCY, and he has one other one that's just a sneaker. It's just a thing, which if I was going to invest right now in one of these things, I might think of buying some shares in this.
Really?
Because it's a penny stock.
Oh.
So he's got, a penny stock. So he's buying a bunch of GHDX, a bunch of INCY, and then for some reason, he picked up 5 million shares out of the blue. Just buys it. No, the other ones were like, buy, lots of days. This one just once. And it's IDRA, and it's $1.74.
Is that Indira Pharmaceuticals?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that recently. Let me IDRA. I saw something about that.
Yeah. But why don't you put that on there, too, just so I can follow it.
Okay.
And give it a 20%.
That one gets 20%.
Yeah, it's way too low. But he's bought it. And now the thing that always bothers me is when the guys buy it. I think it's at $170. What's the price right now?
$170, yeah.
$170. He bought it 5 million shares at $375.
Oh, it hurts.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
He just lost like $3 million on this. Or $3 million. And I'm sorry. The total value of the buy was $19 million, and he lost like a third of that, two-thirds of it. Just boom.
Hmm.
So he may not have the touch. Either that or it's bouncing around bottom, which is what my guess is because I look at the chart. And this thing looks like it's just, you know, it's like a lure if you're fishing, bouncing off the bottom of the water. Just bouncing. You can see it looks like, if that doesn't look like a bottom of the water right there on this chart, I don't know what does.
So it's insiders and
bottom feeding.
And fishing.
Yeah, fishing. Fishing. I'm fishing. And I'd be very tempted at this price to pick some up.
All right, I got those in there.
There's a lark.
Oh, back to the larks.
Well.
What happened to your last lark? We had a lark here. Lark, you, Avgo. Avago was a lark. And then you had a second. Where's the second lark? Didn't you have a secondary lark?
No.
Oh, lark,
no.
Yes, you did. Lark 2. Lark Which 2 is Intel.
Ah, yes. That's done quite well.
Yeah. So you need to do a secondary lark. Because your first one doesn't seem to work.
True.
All right.
That first one was a dog. It was a total dog.
Complete. Just to remind
this
people,
one here, what's the downside on this?
How much worse can it get?
How much worse can it get?
Oh, like, famous
of course,
words.
If you play penny stocks, you know they can easily get down to 5 cents.
Yeah, so exactly. Oh, this is
that's
20,
a lot.
This is 20%. This one's 20%. So I got insiders and 20. I got to put down 20% here. 20%. 15 or 20%? You said 20, right?
Well, we can choose. I'm choosing 20.
Okay, 20%. 20% stop. Let me just put this here. All right, just a reminder, we're not going to be available we're not going to have a podcast for 2 weeks. We'll be back. But in the meantime, you can play along because you could play DH Unplugged closest to the pin. Go over to the site and put in your guess on what the price will be for Disney on the 11th. By the way, one of the really cool things is once you register and you log in the back end in your profile, you track all your contests that you've entered, your prices and things like that. You can see where you position yourself throughout the contest too. So it's a back end for the profile for the users, for our listeners, they can actually track where they've been, you know, and what happened during each contest, the history of their contests. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's a winner.
It's great. All right, thanks for joining us. And, of course, you can listen to John C. Dvorak on the No Agenda Show with Adam Curry each and every week, twice a week, actually, on, I always forget, Thursdays and Sundays.
Thursdays and live, but you can just download the podcast, which is what we recommend. Go to noagendashow.com.
Yeah, you can do that. Plus, don't you guys have a board that people talk as you're talking?
We have if you want to listen live, you can go to the chat room.
Right. And then,
that comes in handy. That's Adam's idea. I mean, I'm not a big fan of chat rooms, but it does do one thing. If you make some sort of egregious error and you say something like, yeah, well, you know, when Henry Ford invented the Chevrolet, you get the chat room chimes in. No, you idiots. He didn't invent the Chevrolet.
Right.
And you can correct the mistakes on the fly during the show so you don't have to do a lot of mea culpas, like, you know, the next week.
I got to say something. Adam Curry, I am convinced he has like 5 arms.
With all what he does with the producing the show.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking at that. He's got this going on. He's got the sound effects he's got going on. He's got your carts. He's got his carts.
It's a groove.
It's unbelievable.
It's very difficult to do what he's doing.
It's unbelievably difficult.
In fact, he doesn't get the producer podcast awards for best produced podcast. It's just over a lifetime.
I don't think they understand.
Yeah, I think he's put a lifetime into it.
You know what? If he doesn't get it at the end of the year, we'll have an award ceremony for him.
Yeah.
We'll do something for him.
He definitely needs to be recognized for that particular skill.
And you as the straight man.
I know what he's up to. It's just like, holy mackerel.
Have you done it live with him when you're in the same room?
No, we don't do that. That's for Boten.
Oh, I gotcha. But I mean, just.
And it would probably screw up the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't need to be taking the eyeball cues from me while he's trying to do all that.
Last question for you. Are you back on or still in the doghouse on Twit?
Oh, I haven't been. No, I'm kind of retired from Twit, but I can go back if I want, and I will go back to do the Screensavers, which is a television show, and I wanted to.
Is that back on?
It's been on for a while. Oh. The new Screensavers. Leo's been doing it. Is it back on? It's funny. He's been doing it now for 6 months.
Where do you find it?
It's on the same site.
Oh, it's
one of the shows.
Oh, somebody was.
It's not a TV show, but right. I think personally that it should be.
The old screen savers was great. That's how I learned about Leo.
Yeah, there you go.
And by the way, I think it was funny. Somebody was ragging on Leo for just, or maybe it was Adam. I think it was Adam actually. Now that I think about it, about demanding that it's called Netcasts, that it just will not get off of it. We will not call it a podcast. It's a Netcast.
Yeah. Well, I remember when that happened. That was years and years ago. He decided that the term was dead end. And so he decided to change it to Netcast. And he was wrong. It's not a dead end. It's still being used. And people at some point will be no one will even know what the reference is. They'll just think it's some futuristic sounding thing, podcast,
right? Or just radio. I mean, what's radio? You know,
it's a form of radio. I agree, but it's.
No, I'm saying, you know, TV, radio, you know, whatever it is. We don't call it cable. We don't call it. I mean, it's just the name that it is. Whatever it is, that's the name of the thing.
Well,
Bob, we'll call it Bob.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right, look forward to it, and send me your guess in an email on Disney for March 11th.
Yeah, I have to do a little research first.
Okay.
All right.
Talk to you. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.